Wendy, the texts are pouring in.
About what?
That was the best transition we've ever heard. That comes from 630. Wow, what a magnificent transition from 312. Hey, what's going on? That transition was fantastic. Area code 818. People love it. You did a great job with the transition today.
We had to split the stream. What's it like when I'm not here and you have to do it?
I just don't split the stream. We just run the Wintrust business lunch.
Over you while you're talking?
Yeah. People like that, too.
There was some confusion with the streams today. They were crossing streams. There were people texting that they were listening to the app and hearing Lori Lightfoot.
Hmm.
And
I didn't see her. Was she here?
No, she had a press conference about
about the teacher strike?
Yeah. And she was on one stream.
Oh. And what was on the other? Deputy Dog?
Us.
That's close to Deputy Dog. We're just taking old Deputy Dog episodes and redoing them. The secret's out.
Someone texted you something last week and needed to know a saying, some cartoon. Do you remember what it was? And we figured out who it was, but I don't remember what the saying was.
Mm.
Is this a new side project you have?
Yeah. Where people remember bits and pieces of cartoons from the 60s and the 70s, and then they text me, and then I solve those, whatever the riddle is, I solve. Yeah.
It was Pumpkin Puss. That was the answer,
I
don't remember the quote.
Oh, I can't remember. There are a couple of texts, Wendy, that I want to share with you. One is, while we were talking to Christopher Knight, TV's Peter Brady, they said, you got to ask him about Cousin Oliver, but that's a sore spot. I knew that going in. We weren't told to not bring up Cousin Oliver, but I know in the past that anytime any of the six original Brady Bunch members are asked about Cousin Oliver, there's nothing but disdain. And I talked to him about it. I mentioned this yesterday to Robbie Rist, who played Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch. And it's kind of a two-way street. They didn't like him. He didn't like them.
Well, Oliver should have liked them because he got a job.
He was playing on their home court.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
I imagine there was some bullying and pantsing going on.
Some friendly Brady bullying. Not the kind of bullying that we experience in real life, but you know how the Bradys would bully with love, you know.
Well, it was just much more...
Right. Cindy would jump in with some baby talk. It's a wonder if you can walk. You get
can
a little
I
bit of that.
Tell you something about Cindy, which I was going to... We didn't have enough time. I mean, you know...
There's never enough time.
I know, but we were running a little late and...
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to Chris Knight some other time.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling we will.
I know we will.
Susan Olsen and Mike Lookinland.
You're Cindy and you're Bobby.
Yes. They recreated the whole thing on this very Brady renovation on the HGTV channel. All the HGTV hosts of various fixer-upper shows were in assistance to do this whole project.
It's a good move. HGTV knew what they were doing.
Totally. And I mean, they ended up spending a lot of money. There were certain items they couldn't find, and so they threw it out to social media. And there was some woman from, I think from Wisconsin. There was a giant stuffed giraffe in the girls' room. Someone had that exact one and donated it to this renovation project.
That's excellent.
They really handled everything. But so they were trying to recreate the backyard. And as you remember, I told you there was no second story on the actual Brady house. So the upstairs was only done on set.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to add an upstairs, but they didn't want it to ruin the line of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So they added it to the back of the house, which took away a lot of the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to make it with the teeter-totter. The swing set,
mm-hmm.
and Tiger's doghouse.
Mm-hmm.
And Cindy and Bobby were in the doghouse checking it out. And Susan Olsen said, this is where Bobby and I used to make out.
Yeah.
And I thought she was kidding.
Nope.
But
legit.
They were too little to be. She didn't say make out. She said kiss.
Oh. That's a little tamer.
Yeah. So they recreated it on the show. They went in the doghouse together.
Was Kitty Carryall's face like aghast? Did they show Kitty Carryall just with a oh my God, I can't believe what I'm seeing look?
It's a doll. And they do have an original Kitty Carryall.
Do they? Yeah.
That's it was impressive. Donated by someone.
That's impressive.
You got to watch this. It will just really bring back such good Brady memories.
Did you tell me you had a Mrs. Beasley?
Yeah, from Family Affair.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
my wife had one too when she was little. And I remember those being a very popular seller, which is funny because the doll itself is that of an older woman.
Ugly. Ugly doll.
You wouldn't think kids would clamor to have a Mrs. Beasley doll, but it was. I believe it was the invention of Family Affair, and then they marketed it afterwards. I don't think Mrs. Beasley dolls existed, and somebody just picked one up. But it's funny because you had one, my wife had one, and several other girls I know, they all had one. But you'd say, why would you have a doll of an older woman like that with, she looked like a librarian. It doesn't seem like a natural companion.
I didn't know what to choose for Christmas one year, quite honestly.
And you went with Beasley.
Yeah, because I don't know. I would have to talk to my sister about this, but I feel like I was pressured to get her.
By whom?
I don't know. Brian Keith? No. I just think like...
Sebastian Cabot?
I think somebody put the idea in my head. Because when I think about it now, I kind of, even though I was more like Buffy's age.
Yes.
I identified more with Sissy because she was hip and cool and happening.
Yes, she was.
And Buffy was kind of this like gentle, sweet little girl, which I was so not.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that weird that I wanted a Mrs. Beasley.
But did you strive to be more like her?
No.
Or did you just, you just said this isn't going to happen.
I didn't want to be sweet.
No. Mission accomplished.
And the Bradys. Boy, my mom must have gotten this because I had to... My mom always did my hair, and like most moms do for little girls, but my mom like kept doing it up till like junior high.
Oh, wow.
Kidding.
Wow.
But she gave me the ponytails that Cindy Brady had that were just like...
The spirally ones? Yeah. Nice.
I had that for pictures one year, and I don't know if she wanted me to be Cindy Brady, but boy, that's weird to think my mom was influenced...
Did you ever sue your mom? Was there ever a lawsuit?
I should have.
You should have sued her.
Oh, there's so many things I should have sued her on. And if it was now what it was then, I would have been able to.
Yeah.
Because now you can sue for anything.
Yeah. I'm trying to think back to remember if I had any toys that were influenced. I had a lot of toys, obviously, but I don't remember ever seeing one on a show, like a character, like Mrs. Beasley was synonymous with Family Affair. I don't remember a case where I ever tried to emulate a kid from TV's choice in toys. I don't remember. I had a Kermit puppet, but it was before Kermit was popular from Sesame Street.
Yeah, because you were a trendsetter even back then, because you were ambidextrous.
It's not because I was ambidextrous. That's just a byproduct. I know I've mentioned this before, but Jim Henson was working, I want to say in Pittsburgh, and his creations were on local commercials.
Oh, for milk. Crammel Milk, wasn't it?
Milk was one of them. What was the other one? There was some other one. So some friend of the family who was from that area brought me a Kermit puppet before anyone knew who he was. And the thing I remember most about it was the eyes were actual ping pong balls. Like on TV, they look like ping pong balls, but the first version that I had, and I don't know that his name was Kermit at the time. I think the tag just said Frog.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
I think that came with Sesame Street.
They did a commercial for Wilkins Coffee.
Yeah, maybe it was that.
For Purina Dog Chow, really?
Could be.
Rolf.
Rolf the dog?
Yeah.
Later from The Muppet Show. Never a fixture on Sesame Street, just The Muppet Show.
He was in Purina Dog Chow ads from 62 to 63.
Wow.
That is a wow.
So think about that. He wouldn't then rematerialize on The Muppet Show for another 15 or so years.
Why, I wonder?
I don't know. Maybe they just kept him in a closet or in a drawer, just waiting. One day we'll have The Muppet Show, and then we'll use Rolf. He's not right for Sesame Street.
By the way, 630 says, once again, Bill and Wendy, you are giving fake news. The mayor is giving a speech on her budget and not the strike.
Yeah.
That's right. It's not fake news. I stand corrected.
I think it is fake news.
Well, it was wrong. It wasn't
wrong
fake.
News. It's wrong.
I mean, we're known for wrong, not fake.
Right.
There's two different things.
Right.
Fake is when you know it's a lie and still say it.
Yeah.
I am just, I
ill-informed.
Don't, yes.
It's our ill-informed news segment. Here's another text that needs to be addressed immediately, Wendy. Somebody from 630 says, I think this is, now keep in mind, we have to go back because this happened roughly a half hour ago. This is logged in at 11:56. I think this is the fifth or sixth time that I've heard somebody on the show say, back in the day.
Today. I saw that, and I recall that. There are various guests said it today.
Record show you didn't say it, and I didn't say it, and I wince anytime anyone says it.
Yeah, see, it doesn't bother me at all. I have said it and continue to say it. I just, since I know, this is how good I am. Mm-hmm. Since I know it bugs you, I try to think of a different way to say it.
Isn't it a lazy phrase?
No.
You don't think it is?
It's colloquial.
I see it as lazy. Because there was no the day. Like, whenever somebody says back in the day, I'm thinking, back in which day?
I know.
Because it could mean a few days ago. It could be the 1960s. It could be biblical times. It could mean prehistoric times. It's lazy.
Well, it's become a colloquialism. Like, how's it hanging?
Amongst lazy people. So when somebody asks you, how's it hanging, what does that refer to exactly? Because my answer is, it is none of your business. Back in the day.
But it just became a catchphrase that people say when they're talking about, I'm not sure when, or I don't want to get specific.
A question you can only ask a guy?
No.
You can ask a woman how it's hanging?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to get punched by a woman again.
But that was a poor choice to compare it to. Bad analogy.
Use a second analogy.
Back in the day would be like, because you're trying to edit yourself, so you don't want to say...
But I've got time to hear when. Like, I want to... If you're telling a story, one of the most important elements of the story is when it took place. So even if it takes the person an extra 5 or 10 seconds to say... Instead of saying back in the day, say, in October, or when I was in fourth grade, or before I was born.
That's what I try to do, because I know it bugs you. You also don't like to compare apples to oranges. That is another thing that irks you.
Well... Because when people always use that as an example, they go, you can't compare them. It's like comparing apples to oranges, as if to say that's impossible, when in reality you can compare apples and oranges forever if you wanted to. It's easy to compare apples to oranges.
It does. Well, if you do compare the two, what they're saying is they're completely different. Although they're both fruit, completely different.
Right.
So
but you could compare the size of them, the shape of them, the color of them, the texture of them, the region by which you taste.
I know, but that's the whole thing. That's like comparing apples to oranges, meaning they're...
It means, like most people mean, they're so different that any comparison between the two would be idiotic.
They are so different. An apple and an orange is completely different.
Agreed, but you could certainly compare them,
yes.
Right? So when people say it, it's like... It's ridiculous to compare this to this because it's like comparing it. It's a weird phrase. If you said it's like
the
comparing
weirdest things bug you.
If you said it's like comparing apples to rocket ships, then you go, oh yeah, because those aren't even close to similar. So let's do that.
But what they're saying is they are under the fruit umbrella, and despite the fact that they're the same, they're very different.
Where do you get a fruit umbrella?
Marshalls.
I have got to get, all kidding aside, Wendy, I need a fruit umbrella more than anything. Don't you find also, with back in the day, that people who say it a lot?
Yeah.
Like, well, everyone I know who uses that phrase, they use it all the time.
Funny as a crutch, Rich.
Yes.
See, now I'll just say that instead of back
I
in
would,
the day.
That's a Melfism. I'm okay with a Ralph Melfism. I'll take that anytime.
How to use back in the day correctly. Back in the day...
You should just say don't. That should be their only explanation.
Bill will have another joke coming up. Stand by when I read this.
All right, my hand's on the buzzer.
Back in the day is an American idiom.
Yes, it is. And they spelled idiotic wrong.
I thought you were going to go, made for idiots.
Made for idiots, too easy.
It's an American idiom used to refer to an earlier time, especially one the speaker remembers fondly.
Yeah.
Unlike similar phrases that state a more specific time, example, back in the days of dial-up internet or back when we were young.
But see, that is totally acceptable because you're
to
using
you.
It's a point of reference.
Back in the day is not part of a larger phrase and doesn't specify the time it refers to. We must use context to infer what time the speaker is talking about, so it's similar to phrases like a long time ago or some time ago. So it's just saying it differently. Does it bother you when people go, a long time ago, it makes in a galaxy far, far away?
It makes me want... Now, think about it in Star Wars, which starts out with a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. If it would have started with, you see the crawl in space and says, back in the day, you go, oh, come on, lazy George Lucas. Tell us when.
I've called him that.
That's why they don't let him run the movies anymore. He wanted to put that in. And Jar Jar Binks talked them out of it.
How am I getting spammed on this company computer? Now I'm spinning a wheel from Walmart when I wanted to be reading about back in the day.
Back in the day was a rap song that I know. That's why I use it.
But the rap song came after the phrase.
Right.
The phrase already existed.
But that's why everybody uses it.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me that much. I don't really care about it.
It probably doesn't bother most people. But like when that phrase started becoming popular, I would always question the person and say, well, when did that happen? And they'd say, about a year ago in February. And I go, well, say that. That's better. Because then you know exactly when it took place. It gives you a point of reference.
But it's kind of like, you know, in the steam engine days. Back in the day, they used to shovel coal into a steam engine.
Right.
That doesn't bother me when I hear somebody say it like that.
Because that one has, it comes with a built-in reference. Because, you know, you're talking... It's obviously you're talking about Robert Fulton, Wendy, which you love Robert Fulton. So I say to myself, well, here goes Wendy talking about Fulton and the steam engine again. But for other people, when they say back in the day, you don't know what... It's like, but how long ago? Just take the extra second to say when. You know what I mean? It's just, it's cleaner. It's easier.
It's your preferred way.
I know. Well, yeah. Yeah. And when John Williams is king, that's the way everyone will say it. I know that for a fact.
Has anyone told him he's never going to be king?
We don't know that.
Unless he's going to London on a Steve Bertrand travel trip, and maybe somehow, yes.
Crazy things have happened in this world.
Yes.
I guess.
You got the Brexit. The royals are all mad at each other right now. Anything can happen. All right, we'll take a little break. Kim will be by. I think she's already here. Kim, are you here yet? You're here now. She'll do the news, and then back to us, Bill and Wendy on WGN. I don't know if you have an opinion on this either way, but yes. I'm very happy. I was sad to see Joe Madden go, but I'm very happy that it's David Ross.
Grandpa Ross.
Yes, I am.
I don't know that much about him. As I know he was a great leader as a part of the team, but yeah. I don't know that much if he has like the managerial skills, or maybe
he's never managed.
Right. So yeah. What qualifies him then? Just because he's a great leader and a great motivator?
I think that's exactly what it was.
Okay.
There was a story. He was ready to retire. He was done with baseball. And then they convinced him, Theo Epstein and Madden convinced him to play one more year. They said, we really think we have the makings of a World Series caliber team, but we need a guy like you who's been through it to teach these young kids what it's like. And he said, all right, I'll do one more year. And that was the year they won the World Series. And every single player came out and said, yeah, David Ross would come over. It would be a tense situation. He'd tell me what to do. And I did it. And I don't know what I'd do without him. That's what you need in a manager.
But the other thing, you know, the flip side of that is when you're the manager, you can't always be everybody's friend.
That's the thing, yeah.
And can he do that?
Right.
I don't know.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
I give him 2 years.
2 years and out, Wendy? That's it? Wow.
Thank you, White Sox fan.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't given it a lot of thought, but I like where they're going with it, to give it a try and see what happens.
Yeah.
They can't get any worse, really.
You're right about one. I mean, he already does know the Cubs system.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit less of a learning curve.
Right.
Than somebody else might have.
I read his book. He wrote a book that came out almost immediately after they won the World Series. The book was good. It really gave you a nice background into him. He's a very likable guy, a nice guy. You're
Seems
right. It's
great.
It's tough because you have to be stern as the manager, but he's you want to have some popularity.
But I think
I guess
Madden struck that balance. You know,
absolutely.
He had fun. Make sure his players had
fun,
but they worked and they worked hard.
Yep.
And
is it really all 100% his fault that the Cubs didn't do well?
No, you always have
to have a fall guy, and he happened to be it.
It wasn't anywhere near 100% his fault. It's the combination. Any team that loses, it's always a combination of things. It's never just one guy or one thing, unless you're Cody Parkey, in which case it's all on you.
It is, totally. And why did that other team pick him up?
I have no idea what that was all about.
He may not be there very long because he missed
a single doink this time. Yeah, so he's getting better. He's cut his doinks in half.
He should have to pay whatever team he's on. He should have to pay them back every time he hits the goalpost.
Or donate to charity or something.
You wonder, though. Yeah, that's a good idea. You wonder, though, when a guy has failed at an epic scale like he did. I'm sorry, but he did. You know, it was a routine kick that he missed, and he cost them, you know, the chance to go further in the playoffs. So the new team that's picking him up, they do no checking on him at all.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, because the Packers have stuck with Mason Crosby, but he had a bad couple years ago. I don't remember how, 2-3 years ago, he had a really bad season. They stuck with him and kept him. I mean,
and he rebounded.
They do. They kind of have. But it's a head case.
If the Bears had kept Cody Parkey, though, and he comes out and he misses the first field goal or the first extra point or something, they would absolutely go nuts. The fans would just go nuts on him, you know?
Well, he really did practice by hitting poles.
Yeah,
that was not a good idea. Because, I mean, his brain keeps going there. That's how he practiced.
Yeah, that's not good.
Right. I know.
I mean,
the goal
so technically,
is to go through the polls.
Yeah, but technically, he's doing what he practiced and set out to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a new revelation that you go through the goalposts.
But the odds of a guy, I mean, if you look at baseball, if you look at any sport, baseball, football, basketball, if you look at any sport from a probability factor, the odds of a guy who had trouble hitting the uprights doing it at a pivotal moment to end the season, you go, that's like a million to one shot. That couldn't happen, could it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It did.
Times have changed because Cody Parkey is not succeeding at what he's trying to do and yet can still be on a team, but Colin Kaepernick, done.
Isn't that something?
Yes, and he's still got, I mean...
Don't you think that has occurred to Colin Kaepernick at some point?
Oh, it's totally, like,
wait a minute.
It has.
I'd
wait a
say
minute.
More than once.
Like every day, right?
Well, when you look at some of these quarterbacks, too.
Right. But there's other cases, like Dave Wannstedt came in, he coached the Bears, and he was horrendously bad. He was just such a horrible coach. And then he got picked up by the Miami Dolphins right after.
Yeah, and he was still pretty bad,
wasn't he?
We'll
take a guy like that. Yeah, he was still awful. So don't those teams, like if most people are applying for a job, you look at the resume and you go, okay, you worked here for a while, and then they quickly got rid of you. What happened there? I don't know. Just decided. Go with
but
a different
also,
direction.
I think, has to do with your support staff and your assistant coaches and your defensive coaches and your offensive coaches and your
it's
front office and all those things.
Yes,
it's
got yes,
all
you're
work
right.
together.
You're right. You're right. But I am happy. You know, other names came about, like Joe Girardi to manage the Cubs, and I'm sure he would have done a fine job. But I was hoping it'd be David Ross all along. I hope it's a success. When do you think otherwise? You don't. Think
I
this
just
is
don't
a good
see
move?
This as being a long term thing. But
no?
He may surprise me.
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes a dark horse.
Yeah.
Emerges and you're pleasantly surprised.
Or a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
You never
Isn't
know.
Isn't it crazy, though, that a team could go 100 years without winning a World Series, so then a guy comes and he leads them to the World Series, they win the World Series, but then a few short years later, somebody goes, hey, we've had enough of that guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, but, I mean, think about it.
Coach Quinville's the same way.
Yeah, because that I don't get.
Yeah.
You know, we liked him. It's
very much.
I loved Coach Q, but, I mean, I'm not in charge of... They know probably much better than I do.
Sure.
But, okay, it was 108 years and then they won?
Yeah.
Is that the statistics?
That sounds right.
Okay.
It was over 100, I know that.
Okay, so they got one World Series and then what have they done? I mean...
Right.
He did a great job once.
Well, out of the 5 years he managed, he did a great job 4 out of 5. One was the ultimate job, winning the World Series, but
it's
he got him to the
repeat.
Playoffs.
I mean, I don't care how great you are. It's hard to repeat.
It's really hard.
I mean, the Bulls were just an anomaly.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes we have one great show per week, and then I'm surprised
that... I can't remember the last time that happened. That's been years.
But I just don't... He gave them a win. He coached them to a win, Madden, right. I'm talking, but...
Yeah.
He didn't do anything else. One win doesn't...
But shouldn't that be worth something?
It was worth something. He got to work the next year.
But you know how, like, I don't know if you know this, but apparently he and Theo Epstein had a long, long talk the day after it was announced that he would no longer... So wouldn't at some point in the conversation, if you're Joe Madden, you go, remember how you guys went a whole century plus without winning a World Series, and then I came and you won one? that should be worth some points, right?
I'm sure it was.
Well, but maybe Joe felt like his time was up too. Like maybe it was a mutual thing. Maybe he felt like
he did as much as he could do here.
Right. I can't motivate, or I'm. Yeah. Maybe it came from him too. Maybe he was ready to go back to California.
But then he had to have a similar speech or conversation with the owners of the Angels, where they say, Do you think you can motivate the guys? Can you get them to a World Series? And his answer is going to be, oh,
of course,
yeah.
Right.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, but he had, how many years was he with the Cubs?
5.
All right. Well, he got one win, and then he wasn't having success for the next 4 years.
But remember, like, the Cubs were getting into the playoffs on average, like, once every 18 or 19 years before he came along. So
three in a row,
four out of the 5, he got him to the playoffs. So just based on that, you'd think they'd go, wow, this is a guy, 80% of the time he got us to the playoffs. And this year didn't end well, but they should have been in the playoffs this year. Right. So,
well, and the Angels are actually giving him a second chance, right?
Yes, they are.
He was with them before.
He didn't manage them, but he was with them. Yeah, he was.
I'm sure he wanted to move back to California just in time for winter. I mean, come on.
He'll still come and go to Binny's here, though, right?
He still has his restaurant right at Wrigley.
Does he and Coach Q shop at Benny's together? Because
yes.
Coach Q has the profiteroles.
Right. So they'll have to somehow mesh their schedule so that they're in town at the same time.
That'd be fun. I'd like to meet up with them and shop at Benny's with them.
Does the hockey season and the baseball season overlap?
Yeah. A little bit.
Right now, right?
A little bit, yeah.
And the Nationals never have been in the playoffs before or in the World Series before. Is that true?
The Washington Senators had been, but then the Senators went away and the Washington Nationals came up. So, that team, this version of the Nationals, there was a Washington Nationals like 90 years ago, but not this Washington Nationals.
Well, sure, it's different people. It'd be very slow if it was the same team.
Of all 90-year-old guys. And we think we'll make the World Series. We're not sure.
Well, I like that they're in the World Series. Do you?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah. I like the underdog stuff.
Yeah. I think most of us get sick of it being, there's a couple teams. The Yankees are in it quite a bit. The Dodgers are in it quite a bit. The Red Sox have been in it quite a bit. Oh. So it's refreshing.
Kind of how I feel about the Patriots in football. Yeah. It's enough already.
Which, by the way, did you see the story? Uh-oh, Wendy already knows where I'm going with this. There are several versions of this story. I read two of them yesterday, and I started out, as I start reading, I read the headline and I go, oh, this is, you know what this is? This is bunk, I say to myself. But then as I read the story, I believe it to some extent. Phil Rosenthal of the Chicago Tribune.
I love him.
And who's the guy at Channel 5? There's a guy
Howard
at Channel
Sudbury.
5.
Oh, about... No. Tom Brady selling his house and moving to
Chicago.
Tom
Brady, the idea is that his years as a Patriot will end this year and he would be the Bears starting quarterback next year.
In what
parallel universe?
Yeah.
Read one or both of
Brady Rodgers matchup.
Brian Perez is the guy.
Twice a year. How great would that be?
Think about that. So both make the argument, both Phil Rosenthal and Brian Perez over from Channel 5 make the argument that with him in a similar situation to what we said in Madden, which is, look, I was with the Patriots for a long time, got you a bunch of championships, it's all I can do. I want to try something else. I want to go to another city. That Chicago would make perfect sense. I didn't believe either of them when I started reading the article, and by both of them, at the end, I'm like, this could really happen. I hope I'm not gullible.
There's no way he would come here.
You don't think so? Why do you say that?
Because
you know how Peyton Manning reinvented himself? Like, he spent all those years as the Colts quarterback, and he was great, and then all of a sudden he went to Denver, and everyone's like, I don't know. I think Brett Favre went to the Vikings. Brett Favre is
a
great example.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
You never know. Maybe he's not getting along with Belichick.
He would be a huge star here in the city.
Gigantic.
And we are very loyal when you're on our team.
Yes.
Then you go away, we hate you.
Yes.
But and it's not back, like he's leaving Boston to go to a place that has... you know, worse weather, because I think Boston has their winters and everything are just as bad as ours.
Yeah.
Who's his lovely wife?
Giselle.
The Boonchin.
That's her nickname? Yeah. The Boonchin?
The Boonchin.
She would like it in
the
Chicago.
Brady Boonchin. That's what their wedding sign said. Brady Boonchin. Christopher Knight was there. I would love
to
see this
happen. Back in the day, you used to be normal.
I'm calling a foul. I want so badly for this to happen. It probably won't, Kim.
I don't like him.
Oh. Don't count your chickens.
I don't. Anna would go nuts.
Loves, I mean, she's hoping and praying.
So if it came down to the two of you, if they said, look, we need 1,000 signatures, we're missing two, all we need is two more, we get Brady in Chicago as the Bears quarterback, you would both veto that?
Well, you know I'm not signing.
Oh, yeah, because it would be bad for the Packers.
I would sign it, but I can't.
Grudgingly?
No, I would sign it because we need a quarterback, obviously. Yeah. We've needed one for ever.
Yeah.
And yep. I just am not jumping on the Tom Brady, he's adorable bandwagon because he does nothing for me.
Well, I don't think they would sign him for his adorability factor. It'd be more for his
passing. No, but I don't understand it. Like, I know Anna DeVlantis is crazy over him.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are, oh, my God, he is such a babe. He annoys me. But again, if he's on my team, I'll learn to like him.
He's a little bit of a cheater, too.
Oh, see, there's that. Again, if he's on our team, I'll put that behind me. Because he won't do it here.
No.
The balls will be deflated already here. It's cold.
It's too cold. Yeah. I would so love to see it. And then somebody made the point. Somebody texted in. I can't remember if it was on Brian Perez's or on Phil Rosenthal's. But he's old.
He is. But, how old is...
Doesn't matter.
He's older
than
Aaron Rodgers, I think, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes, he's...
How did you get Aaron Rodgers? How do you just have that luck, Kim?
They just know in Green Bay, they just keep getting great quarterbacks.
Great quarterbacks.
They just do.
We're kind of like when you evaluate a thoroughbred.
Yes.
You have to decide if that thoroughbred is a Derby winner when they're three.
Right.
We got that in Green Bay when it comes to quarterbacks.
Remind me, was there a year that Aaron Rodgers was Brett Favre's backup or not?
Did they
not
several years.
There was, right?
Several years. I don't know how many, but yes.
Who's our backup?
Bobby Douglas.
No.
I think it is.
Chase Daniels.
Yeah, I guess.
Chase
yeah.
Daniels.
He's your backup.
Which, Chase is a key word when it comes to Bears quarterbacks. They get chased all through the game.
I just don't get it. Why, again, I ask, is there not a quarterback factory that they're making them that we can just get one?
For some reason, in Chicago, we don't have the phone number of that factory. We can't find it. We know it's out there somewhere.
And footballs are made here.
They make the footballs
Wilson
here.
Footballs, yeah.
They just don't make the guys who throw the footballs.
Yeah.
They make the pigskin, just not the guy who knows how to throw it.
That's terrible.
Oh, now all I can think about is Tom Brady being the
He's
Bears
not
quarterback.
Come here.
I would you know how for the last several years I watched the first game and I go, this team doesn't deserve my watching them. I'm not going to watch them. If Tom Brady's the quarterback,
you're coming back in the fold,
I watch every game. I wouldn't miss a game.
You're a Brady lover.
Well, because he's great.
He is pretty
great. He's just great.
We do need him.
He's better by himself than the last six or seven or eight Bears quarterbacks put together. I'd rather have Tom Brady, like if somebody changed the rule and go, you can have eight quarterbacks. The other team won't know who has the ball. One of them will get the ball. They can throw it wherever they want. I go, no, I'll just take Tom Brady. That'd be better. He's that good.
But what if we get Tom Brady and we still keep losing games? Then it just proves how bad.
There's some kind of curse.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does the Billy Goat curse the football teams as well? Has the Billy Goat cursed every team in Chicago?
It started out as just the Cubs, but I think it's gone beyond that.
Our Blackhawks need to
jump
it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Best text of the day, 630. Seeing the Nationals play reminds me I need to pick up my prescription at Walgreens. Because it is the same
the
W. It really is.
I know it is.
Why doesn't Walgreens say, you know, cease and desist? That's our W.
I don't know.
It's the same thing.
But you know what? I feel like Walgreens changed to that W.
It's been a long time.
Really?
I'm looking at my Walgreens app.
To screw with them, Houston should have the CVS pharmacy logo on their baseball uniforms. just to show Washington, hey, we can do the same thing as you. And the umpires should wear Osco drugs hats.
There you go.
Is Osco still a thing? No.
Jewel Osco?
Yeah. They're still there.
I thought it just was Jewel. I thought Osco went away.
Remember how I was trying to get the singer Jewel to marry a guy whose last name was Osco because it would make me laugh? She wouldn't do it.
That's how you go through your whole life, things that make you laugh.
I know.
Yeah, it is Jewel Osco.
Yeah. You thought Osco went away?
Yeah, I just have never heard anyone say, I'm going to Osco. I've not heard that in 20 years.
Oh, no. No, Osco's.
I mean, I think it's just shortened down to Jewel, but I always thought the drug side of the grocery store was the Osco part.
Yeah,
it was.
Yep.
I guess it is.
Yep.
Poor Osco doesn't get his
due. Would have been a huge news story if Osco went away.
I didn't realize it. I know. I just go to the Jewel. I guess there is an Osco side on some of them. Not all Jewels have it.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
You know who owns them, Wendy? Osco Meyer.
You and Kim need to take the pun bus and get out of here. Okay? Seriously,
look
the
at
two
how
of
disappointed
you.
Jasmine
I am
is.
Too. I like, mean,
okay, Osco La Vista was better
that
than.
Was, no, that was better.
That was.
That was brilliant. That was so brilliant.
But you just sparked him to come up with something.
You may get WGN Walk of Fame just on that.
Oh, man.
No matter what you do, you may get it just on that, Kim. But it's so much funny because, Wendy, I'm used to seeing you be disappointed. But every once in a while, I'll turn and I'll see Jasmine. And she's like, what am I doing with my life? What have I decided to do with my life? That's my favorite thing in the world to see.
You're just better than that, Bill.
No. You're giving me too much credit. Wendy, I found something based on what we were talking about earlier with the back in the day stuff the different words that you can use. I found this thing from Reader's Digest about the words that are most easily mispronounced by us.
Oh, boy.
But the problem is when I'm clicking on the arrows, like I know what the first one is because it's the first one that shows up, obviously. But when I click on the arrows to get to the next ones, it won't allow me to. And I don't think it's a good segment if we just do one.
Can you scroll down a little and see if it says next? Because sometimes they suck you into an ad where you're hitting an arrow on one of those slideshows.
Yes.
And it looks like you're moving to the next screen, but no, you've gone to the ad.
It's doing that thing where when you scroll up or down, it scrolls on its own really fast up and down.
Oh.
I know. I wish I had planned this out better so that I could do all of them.
Well, let's do it tomorrow.
But it's only given me one. But your thing, what you just said, reminded me of, have you seen this clickbait? This is my favorite new clickbait, and I've seen it three times this week. It says, can you name these biblical figures? Most people can only get 2 out of 10, and they show a picture of Jesus.
No, I haven't fallen for this. You have?
No, I know it's ridiculous.
Right.
But I just think it's funny, of all the biblical figures they're going to show, they show the most famous one because... To the average person, they're like, oh, I can solve this. I know right. who that guy is. That's Jesus. So then they click on it and they play it. Like, shouldn't they have shown, and I mean, let's be honest, none of these are photographs. They're all artist renderings.
Right.
But shouldn't they have done an artist rendering of a less known biblical figure to really create a challenge?
Like James the Lesser
James
or something?
The Greater,
well, where
James
does it
the
take
lesser?
You when if you do the
it
quiz?
It takes you to a series of other pictures of artist renderings.
Oh, you did click on it.
No, I just know from doing this with other ones.
No, I'm saying, but does it take you like to an ad for like some religious something?
No,
or?
It. You've probably seen these other clickbait ones where they say, can you name these childhood stars from the 60s? And right. then you go, I know who that guy is. I don't know who that guy is. I know who she is. So it's a similar one of those. But in the other ones, they always show you one that's a little bit more challenging. Like with the children from the past,
right?
They'll show you some obscure kid and you go, oh, I've seen that guy somewhere. I don't know who that is. But with this one, they went right to the top. They
but
didn't
Jesus
mess around.
May not have been in the quiz because the last one I clicked on was yesterday and it's I was showing you some of them. See these celebrities without makeup?
Oh, right.
And Jennifer Aniston was the one who was the title.
Right.
And when I went through all the slides, she wasn't even part of it. So maybe Jesus wasn't even part of this.
Oh, they just used that to their advantage.
Yeah. Now, what was your Osco joke?
Osco La Vista.
Osco La Vista.
What was yours?
Something Osco Meyer.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy Mack wants to get in and drive right on your bus.
Absolutely.
His favorite Muppet, Osco the Grouch.
Osco the Grouch. So that's good. See, you're not happy about that one either, Wendy.
I like that. Take the little pun bus somewhere else. Jasmine, did
I'm making
you give
sure
a look?
Jasmine's even still here. Shocked you stayed.
Oh, wow. I'm here, unfortunately.
Wow.
I know. This is just, we're all better than this.
I don't know that we are, Wendy.
Well,
that's nice
know.
Of you to
I
say.
I was pretty
but,
proud of myself.
Yeah, that's
this was the best.
By far.
Out of all of y'all.
Not even close.
All of y'all's.
All right, so either tomorrow or sometime in the near future, I'll figure out how to do this, but these are the words that we most commonly mispronounce.
All right, I bet I'm guilty of some of them.
I guarantee you, I am.
I can't comment. I read them all earlier today, and I don't remember what they were. But earlier in the office when I did this, I was able to see all of them. I would just hit the arrow, and it would move on to the next one. For some reason now, like I said, it'll only give me the first one, and I can't advance. So I'll figure it out. I'll have it figured out by tomorrow or the near future.
I promise. You mean Jasmine will?
Jasmine will, and I'll take credit for it, the way it always is. All right, Kim, thank you so much for the Oscar La Vista joke. That was classic. I'll see you at the Walk of Fame.
Sounds good. We'll
come back and turn things over to the next show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, good night, everybody. I'm going to sleep.
Wendy, look at Sneed's column. She is tipping her hat to Kim Gordon for her Oscar La Vista joke. Said it's the funniest thing ever heard on radio. And also mentioning that it's Ann Jillian's birthday. Thank you, Steve, for pointing that out.
All right. We are going to try this again tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think it'll work tomorrow, but we will definitely give it a shot. We'll see what we can do. Please tune in then. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.
Serving the great Midwest from Chicago, this is WGN at AM 720 on your radio and on smart devices anywhere just by saying play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
WGN Chicago.
A Nexstar Media Group station.